our speaker for tonight, you're going to fall in love again. You're going to fall in love again. I know you fell in love with Michael. Of course, he fell in love with Andrea. But now you're going to fall in love with this gentleman. I have never heard him speak except when I talk to him and the feeling that I have about him. This is a wonderful man. Would you please bring him up for us, would you, Charlie? Right here. Now, I call him Will, but I'm old enough. The rest of you may have to call him Mr. Woolstone. This man is 88 years old. He works and talks about God, and he lives between Scotland and Hawaii and here.
He gets around.
Yes, he does.
Play golf, too. I feel very honored to be asked to say something to anybody. What I'm going to talk about tonight is the relationship that I feel the world should have with God and the relationship I have had with God, and the fact that the things that the Spiritualist Church stand for are true, and that all these things happen because I have had them happen to me, and I know them to be a fact. First of all, I'd like to explain a little bit about my background. I was born in East Orange, New Jersey. My father was a cartoonist and a playwright, rather famous, and he started off, he was an altar boy in the Episcopalian Church in Evanston, Illinois. So I was born up in the Christian family. I was sent to Sunday school, I learned the Bible, and I was quite interested in it. I went to Episcopalian Church for a number of years, and then my two best friends happened to be a Baptist minister's son, so I switched and went to Baptist church, and we even went swimming in the baptismal pool in the church. We didn't have one in the Episcopal Church. Then my father and mother got divorced, and I went to live with my uncle in San Francisco, and I was sent to boarding school. And in boarding school, a very interesting thing happened to me, which I feel shaped my feelings about God and about religion. I took a course in comparative religions, and I got very interested in it, because I found out that all religions have a similar thing running through them. Sometimes it's the same people, like Abraham is involved with the Jews, the Christians, and the Mohammedans, and the Buddhists and things like that are, the teaching is almost all the same. I became quite interested. I read Buddhist books. I read the Quran, and I was really interested in religions other than the one I had been exposed to. That was the start of it. As I grew older, I came to the opinion that we all worship the same God, whether we are a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, or any Shintoist, or even the Hawaiian gods, who I greatly respect and have got to know personally. I feel that we should be tolerant of all other religions. We should not be telling them how they should worship. We should not allow others to tell us how to worship either. Clergymen I have run into, a number of them have been extremely dishonest in that they will come to me and I will talk about the subject to them and they say, "You are right, I believe in the same thing you do, but if I said that in my church, I'd lose my job." And I don't think that they are very good pastors of their own religion if they feel that way. If they don't feel that way, I have no objection to it. But if they feel that way and won't admit it, I have an objection to it. Now, most wars in the world have been fought over religion. Most persecution in the world has been based on religion. And this is all really, when you stop and think about it, is ridiculous. And if you had the same attitude that I have, that all we all worship the same God, you would probably not be involved in any of that. Now, regarding right now in the world situation, we have a thing where the Muslims are now against the Christians. Now, I think the Crusades were very wrong in that the Christians went over and tried to, by force of arms, force the Muslims to become Christians. But I think it's wrong for the Muslims to try to make people into Christians. And what happened in Bosnia recently, where the Christians tried to exterminate the Muslims that were living in their country. Now, I know there is a God. He has helped me a number of times. I was in the Marine Corps, and I'll tell you, there's no atheist in foxholes. But 4 times at Iwo Jima, I could have been cashed in. It was just the difference of a few feet or a fact that some guy goofed off in a Japanese munitions factory and loaded his shell wrong. I had one of them drop within 2 feet of me and it didn't go off. But I'll tell you, I wasn't around when the next one came in and that one went off. See? And I believe that because I could survive 4 incidents similar to that, I feel that God must have some reason for me to be here on earth. I don't know quite what it is yet, but I have a few more years, I hope, to figure it out. I'm going to tell you something that has happened to me that you will probably laugh at. I don't know. I had a young Hawaiian fellow working for me when I was with the Hawaiian Electric Company, and I had a great admiration for him. And he told me that he had the ability to stop rain. And I said, "Oh, you must be kidding." And he said, "No." And he says, "This is how you do it." He said, "You get 2 tea leaves, it's T-I leaves, cross them, pile 3 lava rocks of ascending size on top of them, sprinkle rock salt on top of that, and then get ocean water and pour it on top of that. And you say Akua, which is the Hawaiian word for God, and it's the same God the Christians and the Mohammedans and all those worship. You say stop rain, and by God it works. But you don't stop rain to protect yourself or to do anything like that. You do it only for when it's good for the community. I have employed this thing 4 times. Each time was for a greater number of people than me. But once I did it, I was asked to do it a number of times. I've taught other people to do it, and it works for them just as well as it works for me. But you have to have faith. The first time I used it was with a funny situation. I was working for the Hawaiian Electric Company, and the Public Utilities Commissioners were holding a convention in Hawaii, and they had about 600 people at the convention from all over the United States. And we were supposed to have a cocktail party out in the gardens of the Royal Hawaiian Hotel under a banyan tree. And then we're going to go in a big tent and have a luau, which is a Hawaiian feast. As the hour approached for the cocktail hour, it was raining. And I went into the maitre d' hotel and said, "Joe," I said, "we've got to move this cocktail party inside. We can't have these 600 people stand out here in the rain." And he said, "Well, I saw Will. He said, can't do it. He said, every place is full. And I said, well, I guess we really better stop the rain. So he got me a couple of Filipino boys, and one went for the lava rocks, one went for the tea leaves, another one went for the seawater. We did it, and like that, the rain stopped. As soon as the cocktail party was over, there was a flash of lightning, and you would have think that God had a big rubber blanket full of water, and as we went in the tent, that the water came down like that. And it's very spooky when it happens, but it saves the day for those things. Hannah's my wife out here, went to UCLA a number of years ago to a course in psychic healing, which was given by a plumber. And tell that. He was one of the most fantastic people I ever met in my life. He was so good that the leading doctors at UCLA medical facilities, when they had a patient they couldn't handle anymore, they'd ask him to come along with them, and he'd work on them. He taught us how to see auras, to feel auras, and how to diagnose where there was something wrong with people. And he also taught us how we could heal people by sending pink beams from us to them. I said, well, I don't think this will work. But I finally had a friend who was failing very badly, and you don't have to be with him when you do this. So I called him and said, do you mind if I try to help you? I did what the guy, the plumber, told me how to do it, and by God, it worked with him. Although I never saw him, and he was miles away from me. I just sent my pink beams to him. He got better. That is a bit spooky. Now, in Hawaii, there's many evidences of psychic phenomena, especially on the island of Molokai, where Hannah and I live now, and we're moving from to Utah soon. But there are evidences of, I could tell you 100 stories about spirits that are available and to be seen and who are part of the everyday life of the community. They have the night walkers that walk at night, and they walk through the side of a building and out one side and out the other. I'm very reverent of God's presence on Molokai. It's a very special place that way. Hannah and I also had a very interesting experience back in New Jersey at my sister's house. We were staying there, and I was in New York on business, and we were over in West Orange in what used to be Teddy Roosevelt's estate. My sister had a house in the subdivision that was on the estate, and in the backyard of this house was an apple tree, an obviously old one, a couple hundred years old. It was held together by iron things which kept the branches on it. And I came home from playing golf on a Sunday, and Anna said, well, she said, boy, am I glad to see you. I said, what's the matter? And she said, well, I'll tell you later. And she was out in the kitchen preparing dinner, and she ran into the fact of a swirl of ice-cold air. And we looked around, and there were no windows open. My sister was up in Vermont, and we had the run of the house. And it was an autumn day, and it was quite warm, but we had this ice-cold air. We didn't know what it was. 2 weeks later, I came back to the same house for another visit to New York I had to make. And I woke up at night, and there was a banging on the window. And I thought, well, just a branch blowing against the window. I got up and turned the light on, and wasn't a branch in 50 feet of the window. And then I got back into bed, and I heard this sighing like somebody was strangling. And I tell you, I got up and read the worst novel I ever read in my life. And later on in Hawaii, no, we were in California at that time. We ran to this psychic from up in the mountains up to Honolulu, and we asked her what that was, and she came forth and gave us the names of the person, said that this man had been hung in 1863 on the apple tree in the backyard for being a horse thief, and he was not a horse thief, and he was very upset that nobody believed in his innocence. I asked my niece to check this all out in the, they gave us names of contemporaries and everything, to check it all out. And we went to the New Jersey Historical Society, and everything we'd gotten from that psychic was in print. We believed in the man's innocence. He disappeared. He no longer bothered any of the neighbors or anything like that. It was very, my sister was, I loved her very much, but she was a hard head, and she was assured that I was trying to ruin the real estate value of her property by admitting there was a ghost in it. The colored maid knew it was there, two dogs knew it was there, and all the neighbors knew it was there, but she said no. And the spirit that we were talking to in California said, well, we could have the ghost break a window and then it might wake her up, but that was not necessary. Another thing is that I know that people on the other side can help you. I am probably the worst mechanic in the world, but I'll be out working and trying to fix a lawnmower or something like that, and I just about give up, and all I'll say, George, help me. George was my wife's father, and he was an excellent mechanic. And by God, the answer comes to me, and I get the answer from the problem. Hannah and I also were visited by my mother's sister after she demised up here in North County. I am convinced that all these things happen. I think that skeptics are wrong. I'm not trying to change anybody's ideas on anything, but all I can say is that I have found in the spirits of this church a church which I can live in, who believes in the same things that I believe in. And I think one of the happiest days of my life was I got exposed to the Spiritualist Church. I was first exposed to it in Scotland. And I was staying in the bed and breakfast, which was on the second floor of this house, and the Spiritualist Church was on the first floor. And I wanted to know what it was all about, so I went. And I was amazed at it. It was just like any other Christian service, but the Spiritualist Church, it was very similar to the church here, services here. And when I came here, I found, I think, a home, because I have never seen so many lovable, wonderful people who make you feel good, and I thank you all for being the fine people you are, and may God bless you and keep you forever.
The way to look at these souls when they come back. Not that they're spooky, they're not coming back to harm you, they're trying to help. They Will and I have had the opportunity of living in the era when they did present themselves to us in a little different way than what they do now. Now they present themselves a little differently, but they are more alive than we are. And this is a Christian religion. This is Will. This is a Christian religion. It's based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ taught. I don't know why other Christian religions feel that it's wrong to communicate with the angels. Jesus Christ said, they're not my words I'm giving you, I'm just giving you the words the Father says to tell you. Remember when he came back, they thought he was a ghost after he'd just been hung on the cross, and he was dead, he thought he was a ghost. But I believe that what's happened to this is, it's like the, you know, the Queen Mary when they decide, oh, it's all haunted up there. They use it now to advertise and get people in. You know, that sister of his that had the experience there at her house, she could have sold that for more nowadays. All you had to do is say, I got a ghost here, and the people go and buy it. The Horton Grand down here. Got a haunted room. And people go down and spend big money. Ghosts, the angel friends, those souls free of the body are everywhere. You don't have to pay big money to rent a room just because they're supposed to be there and you want to go in and have a good time. And then the Queen Mary, you know, I worked on there and almost, well, did get locked in the basement, another girl and I. If there were any ghosts on the Queen Mary, we certainly would have discovered them. But they're everywhere. Will, you're absolutely delightful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.